Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.
Right, that's fine. So the Medrash that I want to learn tonight in Vayishlach is the famous Medrash. You're all familiar with it. Rashi actually quotes it. It's a Gemara, actually. Torah describes Yaakov being left alone on the other side of the river as he's moving his family from one side to another. That after moving Kol Asher Lo, everything that he had, to one side, the pasuk then describes Vayivoser Yaakov Levado. Yaakov was left alone. So Chazal or Bavad, what do you mean he was left alone? And why was he there if he moved everything he had over? The language of the pasuk was as Kol Asher Lo. He already had passed everything over to the other side. And now he's by himself. So Chazal say, the name of Rebbe Elazar Shneishtayer al Pachin Ketanim. He had gone back for Pachin Ketanim. He left these little cups, little vessels, small little things that he had had in his possessions had been inadvertently left behind, and Yaakov goes back to get them. And that's what Rashi quotes. The Gemara, when it concludes, adds a line to that. It says the Gemara, Mikan la Tzadikim. So from here we learn the nature of a Tzadik. Shechoviv aleihem mamonam yoser mitirchos gufam. Their money is more dear to them than even the toil of their physical requirement. He had to toil to go back because so dear to him was his money that he had these little pachin ketanim, these small things, which we would have said, nah, forget it. Buy new ones when you get there. So he went back. It was worth a tircha for his money. Kol kach lama, the Gemara says, why? Lefishem poshtin yedeim begezel. Because they're clean from all gezel. Nothing from their hand possession is stolen. It's all hard earned, their own stuff, and because it's so dear to them, look at the tircha that they're willing to go through. So says the Gemara on Yaakov. Interesting Gemara. So in addressing this, let's start with a Gemara in Nida, which you'll finish for me. The Gemara in Nida says as follows. Reb Chanina bar Papa says that a malach hamamoina al ha-hirayon, when a child is conceived, there's an angel that comes and takes the little newborn, unborn fetus. V'noitel tipo ma'amida lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This malach comes and takes this little fetus and places it before the Ribbono Shel Olam and says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, tipazu matei aleha. What's going to be with this child? And I'll ask you, if you had, the Gemara says that the Ribbono Shel Olam decides three categories of aspects, characteristics, traits of the child that will be decided at that time. If you had to decide, if it was up to you, you have a tipa, a little child brought up before the Ribbono Shel Olam, and a malach says, "Nu, what's going to be? What three categories should be predetermined at that point?" What would you say? What are the three categories that should be decided?
Sex.
Male, female?
Yeah.
Nope, not one of them. Let's assume that's already been decided. In other words, the tipa's already been conceived, so it's already known. What was that?
Athleticism.
Athleticism is close, but not quite. Well, close.
You're allowed to dobbin for the first 40 days, as far as what the...
Yeah. Scientifically speaking, from the moment the child is conceived, it's decided already, so leaving aside where you have length of life, good guess, but not quite. House, no.
Although
mouse, no. No.
Mouse.
Your intelligence.
Intelligence. Excellent, that's one. Mara says, Chacham Otipesh. What's going to be the level of intelligence of the child? Is he going to be bright? Is he going to be not so bright? Where would be in our English language would be what's his IQ going to be? Is determined by the Ribbono Shel Olam before the child is even born. That's one.
Rich or poor.
Rich or poor. Excellent. That's number two. His wealth, because intelligence is chosen, predetermined.
Healthy.
Close. That has to do with what was the other one that you said that was close? Athleticism. Is within that area of what the Gemara says. Well, first of all, just somewhere we have his wealth. Will it be an ani or an ashir? Will it be poor or will he be rich? We have his, what was it that I almost said? His intelligence, chacham atipesh.
When he'll die.
Not when he'll die, nope.
When he'll be born.
Nope.
Alcohol tolerance.
Yes. I think that might fit in. But so if we were to counter it, you have athleticism. What was the one you said, Josh?
Health.
His alcohol tolerance level. The Gemara puts it in the way of Gibor or Chalash. Will he be strong or will he be weak? So I mean, I think that can encompass a lot of those differently. In other words, in terms of his physical prowess, you want to put in the sense of athleticism, you want to put in the sense of health, you want to put in the sense of his alcohol tolerance. There's a physical strength that different people have that manifests itself in lots of different ways. And that, the Gemara says, are three things which were predetermined before the child is born. The Malach goes up to Shemayim and says, Ma Tehei Aleha, what's going to be with this child? And asks those three questions. Is it going to be a Gibor, a strong person, or a weak person? Is it going to be a wealthy person or a poor person? Is it going to be a smart person or a not so smart person? Or those three things are predetermined. Which is an interesting Gemara when you talk about the whole concept of free choice and being predetermined. All those things are there. The Gemara concludes there's one thing which is not in the list, the Gemara says. Well, what would that be? What should not be on this list?
Out of those three, rich or poor?
No, what, I mean, those are the three that are on the list, but there's one thing that's not on the list. It's not discussed at the time. Is whether it's a tzaddik or a rasha. That's not discussed. Because
why is that free will?
Hakobi Dei Shemayim Chutz Miyir Shemayim. There you go, exactly, Donnie. That's free will, and that's not determined. So what do you see? What's pshat in such a gemara? So the Rosh Hashanah,
yeah. Yeah, it's the predisposition that this is someone who, if he doesn't give any real thought to his life, this is just the direction his life will go. But if somebody actually takes the effort to overturn the quote unquote predisposition, he's able to do so.
Well, what I wouldn't mean what like numbers. Think about what these three things are.
Yeah, okay, but let's say you know, a guy's strong or weak. Even a weak person could build himself up to be physically strong. I mean, that's happens all the time.
I mean, like a guy who's like big and goes to the gym, or like that guy, same guy, but he doesn't go to the gym. He's like, he's a sickly person.
What about rich or poor?
Yeah, what about it?
He's in the lottery.
100%.
I mean, like there's.
That's what I'm saying. In other words, there are, like...
That's the worst example. That's a total chance.
Right. It's a simple example. This is the way that I understand what the Gemara is saying, as based on what the Rosh Yeshiva is going to say, which we'll explain in a moment. Let's take intelligence, I think, is the easiest one to start with, and then to pass it on to the other ones.
No, I think if someone's stupid, they're stupid.
Okay, and what about whatever the person's intelligence is?
Right.
And the person has a certain IQ. So now that they have that IQ, but that really doesn't determine that now he has an IQ, what will he do with that IQ? You can have a really bright person who sits around and does nothing. You can have a person who's not as bright who works really hard, but they're given different tools with which to work. If they work the same amount from the day that, if all things were even, and these two children would work the same amount, put in the same amount of hours and the same amount of effort, they would still end up in different places, because this one's going to get a 1530 on his SATs, this one's going to get a 1260, and they're going to go in different directions. They did the same thing. This one was, he was just brighter. He just is. Now, the guy who could have earned the 1530, if he doesn't do any studying, might also get the 1260. He might get a 1060. But he has more to work with. Now, if you put in as much as you can, you'll maximize a different IQ than another child who also put in all that he can and will not ever achieve the same level of intelligence. We've all experienced that. We've had classmates where like, it's not fair. Like, I'm working as hard as this person or even harder, and he regularly outperforms me. He just is brighter. So the same is true in an economic sense. In other words, it's predetermined what his finances will be. Now, again, this is my understanding of the Gemara. The Gemara might mean literally it's just totally predetermined. Everything you do is hishtadlus, and everything is already completely known. It could mean also that you have the same way as intelligence. You have a max that you can hit if you work at it. You do your hishtadlus, this is what you'll get. Listen, if you don't get up and go to work, and you're poor your whole life, you come into the Rebbe and you say, I don't have any money. I had you slotted to be in this economic station in life. You didn't get yourself out of bed. What do you want from me? You couldn't hold a job. That wasn't because I didn't determine it. It's just because you didn't go to work. But it's determined, the Gemara is saying it's determined where that economic, and this is again something you see in life where you just have, if you think about all the people that you know from, or, you know, school age and up, some people, they just, like everything they touch, they're successful at. They just do well. And other people work and work and work and work, and you know, it just, it doesn't go. They you know, they're always going to be at a certain economic level. And it's not that they're not working hard. It's just, some people are born into money, and some people just, everything they touch is golden. The Rebbe Shlomo has it determined. Does that work?
Huh?
Yeah.
Inside joke, sorry.
That's fine. I'll just laugh like as if I know what's going on, and we'll just move on. That's so, but, so the...
My strategy.
So the Rebbe Shlomo determines a person's level of intelligence, what his IQ is going to be, determines his level of wealth, assuming that he works, puts in his ishtadlis, he will simply be at a different level than his other, different body. That's what he determines. And whether or not he's strong or weak, which in a way is a physical, is a very physical aspect. Some people are physically weaker. Some people are strong personality. They could just, they're just, you know, they're just a force of presence. They do different things. They can accomplish different things in life with their physical being than others. What's the significance of such a Gemara? So the Shashiva learned, the Gemara is saying, these are tools. If it's predetermined, that means it can't be my doing. The Gemara is willing to say that intelligence and wealth and health, physical strength, are predetermined. The Gemara must be saying they're tools. The Rebbe Shlomo has a mission for every individual, and in order to fulfill your mission, you have to have your tools. And the set of tools that each individual has is a combination of at least these three factors. You're going to have a certain level of intelligence, you're going to have a certain level of wealth, and a certain level of physical strength. And everyone's at a different combination. And whatever combination you're given, those are the tools that you need in order to fulfill your mission in life. And no one can fulfill the mission that you have other than you, given the tools that you've been given. It's interesting to know the three things that the Gemara says: health, not really strength, wealth, and intelligence. So the pasuk in Yirmiyahu, which we read in one of the Haftorahs in Parshas Tzav, a beautiful pasuk concludes: Ko amar Hashem al yishalel chacham b'chachmaso. Do not allow the wise man to take glory in his wisdom. Va'al yishalel hagibor b'gvuroso, nor the strong man in his strength. Nor the wealthy man in his wealth. The three exact things that the Gemara talks about is predetermined. The pasuk says in Yirmiyahu says, you're going to walk around gloating because you're strong, or because you're wealthy, or because you're smart. That's not you. How could you walk around gloating because of that? You're going to make yourself proud with things that aren't yours? That's all predetermined. I used to, like, you know, these the beauty, not to buy the beauty pageants. You could start even there. You're talking about a beautiful person, where the world determines this person is beautiful. So what makes a person beautiful? So the Baruch Shem made is beautiful. Like, I didn't create the shape of my face the way that it is. This is the way that he gave it to me. It's just kachahi. Some people are granted beautiful faces, some people aren't. But a person who walks around thinking that they're so great, so we look at that from a Jewish perspective. We say, are you kidding me? You think you're great because your face is pretty? That's not who you are. Like, we know that. We might get caught up in that, but we intuit that is so surface. And the reason why it's so surface, because it's not you. What did you do for that? That's the Marshall granted you a beautiful face. You're lucky. The rest of us, you know, we just have our smarts. So what are we going to do?
We got our bugs.
Right? So the same thing with these, you know, the bodybuilding kind, all these things, the wealth, it's, the Gemara says that's predetermined. Now, you might have had to have done the Hishtadlus. And if you didn't do the Hishtadlus, it wasn't going to come. But if you put in the time and the effort, and it falls in your... Great. You had the wisdom was given to you to be successful. The money was given to you to be successful. Al Yishalel, you can't praise yourself in any of those things. Except in what concludes the Pasuk, Kiyim Bezos, Haskel V'Yodeo Osi, he who knows me. It's all about the Yerushalayim person, whether or not the choices you make. Those are the things that you can praise yourself with. Do you know me? Do you not know me? Do you keep my Torah? Do you not keep my Torah? Do you do chesed, mishpat, and tzedakah? Great. You do those things, pray. That's what you should be doing. That's you. But your wealth and your strength and your wisdom, can't praise them. Same things as the Gemara says. which is, you know, there's a well-known mission in Pirkei Avos, which I think in this context becomes magnificent. Ben Zoma says, Eizehu Chacham. Now note the three things that he's going to talk about. Eizehu Chacham, he asks, who's considered a wise person? So the meaning of the mission is poshut when you put it in this context. Why is he asking the question? What do you mean, who's a Chacham? Go look in the IQs. Whoever's got the highest IQ, he's a Chacham. So why is Ben Zoma asking the question, who's a Chacham? Because Ben Zoma knows the Pasuk in Yirmiyahu, he knows the Gemara, and it says, wisdom? That wisdom's given to you. You want to know what real wisdom is? That you can say, I'm now a Chacham. This is my wisdom, it's not IQ. Chacham is halom in me kolad. I want to learn from everyone. I see wisdom everywhere, I want to get it. Someone has something to teach me, I want it. Ben Zoma takes the same category that's discussed and says, you want to know what wisdom is? It's not your IQ, it's you want to learn. What's the next thing he asks? Who's considered wealthy? Same thing, because those are the two things that Pesukim, that we've discussed. Wealth, it's not a matter if it's your bank account. What's wealth? Wealth is being happy with what you have. Knowing that what you have has been given to you by the Ribbono Shel Olam, and that's what it is that you have, and you don't need more than that, and I'm satisfied with what I have, happy with what I have. And what's his last thing that he asks? And who's considered strong? He's just following the same pattern. Right? A covetous yitzro. Strength is having an inclination, having a desire to do something, and holding yourself back. It's not physical strength. That's not you. I could do the same amount of push-ups and lift the same amount of weights as some of my buddies as we used to do in high school, and no matter what I did, I would never look like them. I just, you know, that's I tried. It just was never going to happen. They would always pummel me if we did anything physical. That's just the way that it was. That was just my build. You know, I wrestled at 103 pounds my freshman year, and I was like a tiny little person, and like, and some people were a little bit bigger and stronger, and no matter what that. So then some of them, who's strong? Yeah, that's what I claimed. I was even before the steroids era, so I wasn't even on anyone's radar screen. I mean, they were doing it, but it wasn't like it wasn't exposed yet. So Ben Zoma follows the same pattern where the Psukim and the Gemara says these are all, they're determined, they're not yours. So Ben Zoma says, well then, what is it? So real strength is being able to control yourself, being able to hold back when you want something and not take it. Real wealth is being happy with what you have. That's you. That's yours. You made it. Real wisdom is wanting to learn from everybody. It's not your IQ, because how could you be glorified about that? That's the Ribbono Shel Olam gave it to you. Things that the Ribbono Shel Olam gave us are tools. And in the same way that we need to make use of every tool, so then you can't praise yourself if it's a tool, it's what you were given. So Shashiva learned, that's Pshat and Yaakov. Yaakov goes back for Pachim Ketanim. So it sounds like a funny thing that Yaakov Avinu was going back for, like we would have said, it's not worth it, you know, just, you know, buy new ones. So the Rosh Hashiva learned, Yaakov understood, if the Ribbono Shel Olam gives you a tool and you squander it, so there's going to come a time, if you have it, that means you need it. In the same way, if you would talk about intelligence or money, well, let's start intelligence. So if you had a level of intelligence, you didn't use it, so you could have done more in life, because I had more smarts to give and I didn't put in what I could have into it. So if I had physical money and I threw it away, well, if I was given it, she'enum poshtin yodun begezel, I didn't steal it, it was fairly earned. If I've earned it, that means it's been determined that I need it. I don't know what, I don't know when, I don't know how. But if I have it, then it's part of my toolbox. And if I squander it, that means there'll come a time, I don't know when or how, where I will have needed that money, and now I will fall short in my avoda in some way because I don't have the tools that I need. And Yaakov understood that for Pachim Ketanim, but if he's been given it, and it wasn't like falsely earned, it's mine, then by definition it's a tool that I need to have. And it's a tool that I need to have, then he's willing to go back to get it. Because of that concept of understanding that every single thing that we have, if it's been fairly earned, somewhere it fits into the equation. And if you throw things away, you squander it, you're literally throwing away your toolbox that's been hand-selected by the Ribbono Shel Olam to give us. Then, nah, I don't need that. I mean, you don't need it. Of course you need it. Yeah?
So how do you balance the other side of that, which is the time that it takes them? I mean, I don't know, you're coming from a very
practical time is money, right?
Worth more than 15 cents an hour, whatever the talking time are worth. I mean, if daughter goes and throws 15 pennies all over the house, it's not worth my 10 minutes to focus.
So I think you're asking a fair question. In the world that we live in, so no, it's because he was traveling with his family, and I don't know in the sense again. I'm not sure. I'm saying this in response to your question, whether or not it was a matter of, so they're all busy packing and they're traveling and they're camped for the night. Right. Like, he's not going to go any further, so he goes back to get them. Whatever it was, he would have accomplished in learning. Whatever he would have done, right. I'm assuming so he would have. You know, we're here for tonight. So he's learned while he's, you know, I'm sure he's talking, thinking, and learning while he was. But I think you're right in the world we live in. Practically speaking, in other words, there's the yisod that the Rashi was learning from the Medrash, from what Chazal are telling us. And then there's a practical application of that. The practical application is there are times where it actually will cost me more to worry about those pennies that were scattered while we were walking on the boardwalk. And
that's the whole message of this yourself.
The message is that, right, only because that's going to cost you more to get it. Sometimes, in other words, we squander things.
I think Yaakov Avinu's time is clearly worth more than any of our time.
I'm saying, I don't know that his time wasn't spent well while he's traveling by himself going to get it.
So then you could always say the same thing for us. While I'm picking up the pennies that she threw all over the house, then I'll be thinking and learning.
100%. If you'd be doing that, fine. In other words, but if you...
So I'm saying, so you could always say that then. I think, no, that's not... That doesn't.
You'd be thinking about the pennies while you do it.
Yeah, and what I mean to say is, I think sometimes in a practical sense, it does... In other words, let's say you had... forgotten, you know, you forgot something in Chattanooga. You forgot your pachlan katan. You spent the Shabbos in a hotel in Chattanooga, and you forgot an outfit for your 3-year-old.
Right.
So you say, Yaakov Avinu forgot pachlan katan, and he went back. I'm going to go back to Chattanooga to the hotel to pick it up. So you say, you're going to spend $50 on gas and 3 hours of your time to go back and pick up a $3.99 outfit that you could buy in Target?
No, not even that. You don't even need to go. That's an extreme example. I think it's more like you forgot your 3-year-old outfit in the middle of the hallway in Shul, in the middle of the Heritage Hall in the Kiddush.
Okay.
For Yaakov, you don't go back now, it's going to be gone.
Yaakov, he had to cross the Yabok River, which was... what thing?
Yeah, so in that example you say, so therefore...
So I think you have to wait, like, okay, I'm already half a mile away at lunch. I think that's the type of example we're talking about.
I think so.
So you think we should really go back for, like...
I think it's more the Chattanooga case.
So,
you have to cross the Yabok River, it's a gorge, you know, it took a long time to go down, cross, and get up.
Yeah, but that's the most extreme example. Kaval Chomer, you should go back, you know, down the Gorge of Jodi.
Yeah.
back to Shul.
Isn't the point in this case, though, that he encountered the angel and he had that whole situation occurred because he was going back?
So if you would have known you'd get in a fight on your way back?
Well, I don't think you'd call it.
You wouldn't go.
Fight. I mean, that's not underplaying. But isn't that the point, though? Isn't that what his... merit was?
Chazal speak very highly about another medrash, which we're not discussing today. The medrash on the Pasuk of Vayivosar Yaakov Levado compares it to who else do we have the language of Levado, Veniskov Hashem Levado. And the same way that Yaakov was left alone in returning for these Pachim Ketanim, he becomes similar to the Ribbono Shel Olam himself in being Veniskov Levado, being exalted just by himself. I understand that in this sense, in terms of the message of valuing our stuff and valuing or being aware of how, I don't know if it's wasteful or lackadaisical we are in terms of whatever. It's fighting an extreme, you know, in today's day and age where everything is throwaway. Everything is doesn't pay to fix it. Like if it's broken, like there's no such thing as repair shops anymore.
Right, but you're saying that this medrash wouldn't apply to that, because if I ask you, okay, look, I read this medrash and the truth is most of the shops in the vacuum cleaner broke, and it's going to cost $85 to fix it. Thing cost $110 5 years ago. Should I fix it? So you tell me, like, Eric, well, it's a medrash, but like, seeing as a bad financial system, fix the vacuum. That's not what the medrash is talking about.
Right, in that scenario, if you had paid.
Say, but that, it's very impractical because all the cases that we're talking about, if it comes down to it, any of us would think about it and we would say, no, that's not what the measure's talking about. This is obviously made of hash code and it doesn't make sense. Shouldn't do it. Or it would be so obvious that you should do it.
I don't know. I'm not thinking of a specific example, but I, having seen this a number of years ago, I find I come across examples where it's my laziness that prevents me from doing something, not a sound financial
decision.
Here's
an example. I have one. Let's say you go to Kroger and you got an entire car full of stuff and you parked all the way at the top of the parking lot.
Right, that'd be an example.
And you have
you forgot a bag of two cans of corn or something.
Let's say inside a Kroger, and they're literally it's something that's so meaningless. Or let's say you had a bag of oranges that kind of ripped open, and two oranges rolled out, and you see it rolling down towards where the guy with the carts is pushing it and yelling at people, and you're all up the top of the parking lot. I go, I'm not getting those two oranges. Like I have all my stuff here, my bags and everything. Forget it. I mean, you're just not going back. They're two oranges. Who cares?
What's that guy yelling?
Right, I think that's an example.
Yeah,
where the measure, in other words,
just spent the money to buy it.
You just spend the money, and it's a tirch. In other words, I think really when you go back, I'm glad you're bringing this up to clarify. The lashon of the Gemara was that they're chaviv mamonam yosu mitirchos gufam is the language of the Gemara. More than the Gemara's language is gufam, is the Rosh Hashanah says mitirchos gufam, more than the tircha that it would take to go get it. So you're right, there are financial, sometimes the chaviv mamonim tells me not to do it. And my money is chaviv, so I'm not going to go back. But the tircha, so many times it's just, I don't want to go back. And that's when we say, it's not worth the effort, and I'll throw away the couple of dollars because it wasn't worth the effort. You're bringing examples, and I think I'm glad you're doing that. I think that really is a distinction. Sometimes it's not that it's not worth the effort. It's that I spend more money in whatever, however we'll define that money, to do it. And often it's just, I'm just too lazy to go back. I don't want to go back in.
I think it's almost always going to end up being a monetary situation.
Okay, I think if you'll pay attention, you'll, over the course of, the couple months, you'll think about it. You'll find yourself very often where it's really, you'll tell yourself that, but a lot, it's just, in other words, when those oranges roll away, you're not really calculating a financial decision. It means you're going to get, it's 10:30 at night, you're going shopping. You're not going to do anything different whether or not you get home 5 minutes later. You just don't want to go back in to pick up the two cans of corn. It's just, it's not worth it. That's what we say to ourselves. Mm-hmm. If it's during the business day and you have to quickly run out and it means an extra two phone calls that you're not going to make, all right, that's a business decision. Two cans of corn are worth less than the two phone calls. I understand that. That's not what the manager is talking about. But it's when, it's not like I have a Seder at home. It's a matter of, it's just nothing's doing. And we just were too lazy to do so. And that's where the manager is saying, and the Yaakov is teaching us the value of even Pachin Ketana from the Tircha of going in, it is Kedai, because if that money was spent and it was hard-earned money, then that's part of the Avodah, to have those extra bucks some point. That's my toolbox, and I need to keep my toolbox full for whenever it will be needed. All right, good example.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to torahmediaatlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.